Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface here at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer, Michael Remus. The Winnipeg Jets continue their hot streak of good play, defeating the Nashville Predators by a 3-1 margin tonight, Richard, in a game that certainly was not aesthetically pleasing, not a lot that you would send to the Hockey Hall of Fame as a blueprint for hockey. But for the Winnipeg Jets, for them to be successful, they played the sort of dirty, boring style that has proven to be successful over the last six, seven games.
Yeah, I agree, Drew. And that's exactly what's happening here. The team is playing a pretty boring style. And, you know, their goals tonight were two on the power play, one empty netter, and so there you go. You're taking advantage of your opportunities. But if you look at it at even strength, the Jets' chances that they're getting over the past two games, for example, are really on transition, and they're in transition off of mistakes from the other team. We'll talk about it. We'll expand on this tomorrow on NHL Midweek, but they're taking advantage of the mistakes of the other team because they're playing with the lead.
Right.
And so it all works together. I mean, you know, they were a little bit too fancy today in terms of some of their chances, you know, those two-on-ones and three-on-ones and things like that. But to your point, and what to Palm, we've said this many times on the show before, to be able to succeed in the league with the talent level they have to play a better lockdown game. And what did they do today? They played a pretty, getting two-on-ones is one thing. How do you get the two-on-ones? Do you give up one to get one? No.
Right.
You know, aside from kind of a botched three-on-one from Nashville, a couple odd chances here and there, for the most part, what's happening is the Jets are just getting chances from other teams forcing it to try and make plays. Now, it'll be if you think about it, actually, now that I'm talking in a stream of consciousness here, but when you think about it, the Jets played tonight. They got off to a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
Okay, so they played with the lead. Chicago, early one goal, 1-0 lead, win 1-0.
Sure.
Okay. Then you go back to the Rangers, 0-0 game. The New Jersey game, the Jets led the whole game. Now, credit to the Jets for all of that, for sure. And now and the Islanders game, really, what, up 3-1, 4-3. When was the last time?
They were down in that Isles game, 1-0.
Yeah. But that's the last time.
Yeah.
So, Nashville 1, Chicago 2, Rangers
Devils.
3, Devils 4. Four, basically almost five games they haven't trailed. And this is why this is working. Now, it'll be put to the test when they get down.
Sure.
Do they stay disciplined in the system when they're losing? And I want to expand on that tomorrow. But that's the idea. And they're playing really well. And they're defending well. And shockingly, Andrei Pavlik's stats look great. He's playing well, first off. Second of all, in the Ranger game, obviously, they give up a ton of chances. And Hutchinson's stats look great, too. Same thing. Because the team is playing more within itself. They're not forcing things. They're not taking chances. I said before, they're not taking chances to get chances.
The Jets opened the scoring today at the 2:53 mark of the first period. It was a power play goal. Andrew Ladd gets his fifth of the year, assisted Dustin Byfuglien and Brian Little. Matt Cullen was in the box for interference, and the Jets, a power play, which has been much maligned so far this season, rightfully so, capitalizes on the early opportunity.
You know, really nice. This is a simple play, right? This is just Little to Byfuglien at the point.
Yeah.
The Jets have been scoring on these simple plays, and credit to them. Now, at even strength, they're being too complicated today. They're trying too many pretty things. Oddly, on the power play, when they have more space, they weren't being as trying to be as pretty. And the puck goes to Byfuglien. Byfuglien gets the puck on net.
Yeah.
Gets with a tippable shot. Now, the tip was really nice. Like, it wasn't your easiest tippable shot there. Ladd, with good hand-eye, tips it, and it goes in. So, credit to Ladd, playing really well lately, carrying the team on his back. But just getting the puck off of the stick quickly onto the net. It's simple hockey, and Ladd getting position on the defender, you're up on nothing.
Exactly right. It was just a quick pass from, like you said, from Little to Byfuglien. Mm-hmm. It didn't stay on his stick for more than half a second, and just that quickly, it was in the back of the net. Predators continue to take penalties. Next one is Colin Wilson. Colin Wilson takes a penalty at the 3:41 mark of the first period, and then just as the penalty expires, 12 seconds before it expires, Mark Scheifele gets his second of the year, another assist to Blake Wheeler and Evander Kane. This is the goal probably that Carter Hutton wants back for the Predators.
You know, I think so. Wheeler moves from the kind of the left side to the top of the zone on the power play, passes it to Scheifele, who comes off the half boards, and that's, he's a really good wrist shot, a really deceiving wrist shot, and it's really explosive, and he comes off the half boards, and Nashville's defender, and I'm forgetting who it was on that rotation there, needs to close, so much so that I actually heard one of the coaches talking about the need to be, you know, the Nashville guys talking about the need to close on that play. In any event, should Carter Hutton have saved it? I think so. I mean, I think Pekka Rinne probably would have saved it, but it was a beautiful shot by Scheifele, and what Scheifele does there is he uses a defender to screen Hutton, and his really deceiving wrist shot, and a fast wrist shot, zips up, and Hutton doesn't get it. So credit to Scheifele for, you know, he's had a lot of chances he hasn't been able to capitalize on lately. The bounces haven't been going for him, but he gets one there, and again, the Jets are staked to a 2-0 lead, and it's a lot easier to play when you're up two.
Seth Jones and Victor Barkley were the defenders on the ice for the Predators on that power play goal for Scheifele. Take this opportunity right now to talk about the Predators' usage of Shea Weber during the game today, because I was sitting next to you up in the box, and you found it a little bit curious.
Well, you know, what they did, Drew, is, and I'm looking at his ice time right now as we're talking here, he played 27-29.
Right.
But you look at the power play column. That's the one that struck me a bit. And he plays, on the power play, Drew, you see him play 3-27. And you see Roman Josi, who I like, he plays 4-49. And I realize what they're trying to do is balance the power play. They balance the two units that they have, and Josi was playing predominantly on the first unit. And, you know, the setup and the things that they're constructing. But you had a power play at the end of the game there. That could have been the difference in the game.
Sure. It was 2-1 at that point, mm-hmm. and the Jets took a penalty. Toby Enstrom flipped the puck over the boards late in the third period.
Look, we weren't sure if it hit the glass. We thought it might have. In any event, they were on the power play, and what happened? What happened was Shea Weber didn't get on the ice for the power play.
Right.
Because the first unit stayed on long. And that's what happened. They were pressuring. They had some good chances. But you have to think they want their horse out there when it matters most. So, I mean, I'm sure he played almost 28 minutes, but I just thought, you know, those power play minutes aren't as hard on the body as the other shorthanded and even strength minutes are. So you wonder if they might change that up a bit.
The Jets led 2-0 after the first period, and it took late until the second period, 16:17 mark of the second period, mm-hmm. after the Jets had already set a new franchise record for the consecutive shutout streak.
Yep.
They'd set that at about the 5-minute mark, give or take, of the second period. So about 10 minutes later, the Predators get on the board. It's Philip Forsberg getting his fourth of the year, assist to Weber and Ribeiro. This comes just as a Jets power play, Jets penalty comes to an end at that point.
And really, you saw three power play goals tonight and an empty netter.
No, this one was actually even strength. No, the power play adjusted. I know that,
but I'm saying you really just, that really,
sure,
was, they, right, everybody was still out of sorts a bit there, right? They're trying to get the puck out of the zone.
Yeah.
How many seconds after was it? We're looking at it, right? We're looking at, well,
Bufflin, the penalty ended at the 16:09 mark, so this happened at the 16:17 mark, so 8 seconds.
8 second difference. Basically, every goal was a special teams goal and empty netter. You didn't see much at even strength. I thought the game was actually very sloppy at even strength. Tough making passes, just creating. Didn't have a, you know, the plays, they weren't creating much off you know, tic-tac-toe or anything like that. This goal here, Drew, Bogosian's got to get the puck out of the zone. He's kind of backing up. He flipped, doesn't get it past Ribeiro. Ribeiro gets it over to Weber, gets it over to Forsberg, comes in on his off wing, very similar to what Scheifele did, takes a shot. Not as good of a shot. Not that Forsberg doesn't have a good shot, but that shot wasn't as good as Scheifele's shot. Pavlik should have had it. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, when you go on a 3-4 game shutout streak, whatever the heck it was, you can't be nitpicky, and they want the game. But, you know, if they had their way, Pav would have had that one.
Yeah.
Pavlik would have had that one.
Would have had that one. Pavlik ended the game making 25 saves on the 26 shots he faced for a save percentage up around, I believe, 967, if I'm not mistaken. So
you can talk
very
to me all about
numbers.
That. Yeah, talk to me all about that numbers. But how many challenging shots did he have? This is not to discredit him, but the point is, when
team
he lets
plays
in,
better defense.
When he lets in four goals on 20 shots and there's 6 2-on-1s,
sure.
You know, to exaggerate a bit, but that's the difference in the defensive play.
What I noticed about Pavlik's game today, more so than anything, his rebound control was very good. There are a lot of shots from...
You're absolutely right. It's a good observation.
Yeah, from outside the scoring area with traffic in front of him, mm-hmm. that if the puck hits the ice, they're going to be hacking away at it. But I thought he smothered the shots, and they hit him big in his chest, and he covered them up before they could even get a rebound attempt on them. So that was, I thought, a very good aspect of his game tonight.
There's less pressure on the defense when they're scrambling, less pressure on the forwards when they're second chances. And, you know, this all works. The team all works in unison that way.
Sure.
So, again, the Jets are making some hay right now, and it's going to be very interesting. Well, surely, as we will other things, talk about that this tomorrow, you know, how they handle a Pittsburgh team that beat the Wild tonight. And the Wild are a good team.
Right.
Well, actually, in proper English, is a good team.
There you go. Very nice.
4-1 tonight. So to watch an explosive squad like that, how the Jets are able to defend, and they defended against Chicago, although they didn't control the play, will they be able to defend against Crosby and company?
It was 2-1 at the end of 40 minutes, and it took until late in the third period. The Predators had pulled the goalie to get the extra man. The faceoff was deep in the Jets zone. It was a very nice shot block by Jacob Trouba. Yeah. He's calm. He collects the puck. He's got a break. There's an empty net. He feeds the puck up to Blake Wheeler. Wheeler makes no mistake, puts it into the empty net. Jets have a 3-1 lead, and that's a 3-1 victory at that point.
Nothing I can add to the empty net goal.
No, there's not a lot of deep analysis in there on the empty net goal. Anyways, for the Jets, a solid victory. They improved to 7-5-1 so far this year on the in their record. 5-0-1 in their last six games, if I'm not mistaken.
They've been very good lately. I mean, and it's interesting to know, I mean, how well they've played lately, and they haven't really scored yet. So another question to ask is, can they get the goals coming? Can they start scoring without giving up defensively to create? So, I mean, and how does that work with getting the lead? It's going to be very fascinating to see how this plays out, because after Pittsburgh, the schedule's not that hard. Carolina, Ottawa, Montreal. I mean, Montreal's not playing well right now. They got killed tonight. Ottawa beat Detroit, but Ottawa's all over the place, and you have Carolina's terrible, right? They play Carolina, right?
Yeah, they play Carolina. That'll be their end of the season with Carolina.
End of the trip, right? Is that what?
Saturday they're in Ottawa. Right. Tuesday they are in Montreal. Thursday they're in Carolina. Saturday they're in Nashville.
Sunday Minnesota. So I mean, think about it that way. That's not a hard schedule. So let's see what they do here.
That's right. That's it for the Jets. 3-1 victors tonight over the Nashville Predators here at MTS Center. Looking at the time on ice, Jacob Trouba leads all Jets defenders 26 minutes and 37 seconds. Mark Stewart logs a big game at 24:31. In terms of forwards, looks like Dustin Byfuglien led all forwards today, playing 19 minutes and 58 seconds of ice time. Jets win 3-1. Reminder, tomorrow night, 6 p.m. on TSN 1290, it's NHL Midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll talk about tonight's game, and we'll preview Thursday against the Pittsburgh Penguins when the Jets are back in action. For producer Michael Remus, for Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg, getting audio from both the Jets and the Predators dressing room. For analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.